back to the regular exclusive podcast with your host, Jason Renee, as always. And Renee, have you been hearing about the success of this Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes movies?
I have, yeah. That's I think it looks pretty interesting, but like, I guess I'm curious what your thoughts are on the whole franchise, because I don't think we've really chatted about it yet.
No, but I've been meaning to go see this movie. I just haven't gotten around to it, you know, because life, busy, excuses.
Didn't it like just open?
I think it came out like last week or something.
Okay.
Maybe two
well,
weeks ago.
I think you could give yourself a little grace.
But I am looking forward to it. I mean, it's been like 7 years since War for the Planet of the Apes.
That's the last one that was in the trilogy with Andy Serkis, right?
Yeah, Matt Reeves directing. And I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know if I would say I'm excited for it, because I absolutely love the last trilogy, especially the two that Matt Reeves did. They were phenomenal. So I'm trying to temper my expectations with a new director. You know, this takes place like a couple centuries after War for the Planet of the Apes. So try not to bring my own baggage of the originals, I guess, to it.
The originals. Okay. First
Sorry,
off,
not the originals.
Let's go
my
back
originals
to like 1968 and talk about the best Planet of the Apes, because the original is still the king. There's no fucking comparison. Have you seen that one?
No, I have not. I was not into watching old movies, you know, 7 years ago.
Well, are you open to it now? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I would go back. Okay, I've
cool.
The consensus I've heard is that the original's the best one, and then it just really gets weird with some of the sequels after.
Yeah, I never saw any of the like sequels to the original, but
yeah.
Like I really enjoy the first one. It's like a classic for a reason, and a great, just really great movie. Charlton Heston, some great fucking lines, like, get, like, unhand me, you damn dirty ape.
Yeah.
Just great fucking shit. And it's just a classic for a reason. But I will say, have you seen the Tim Burton one? Because I think that's the one where most people are like in agreement that they all hate. But like, legit, I really like it. Minus Mark Wahlberg, I'll say. Mark Wahlberg was a total miscast, but like, it's a similar thing to that M. Night Shyamalan movie with him.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's the right person for these kind of roles. But I like that movie. Have you seen that one?
I know I've seen it. I don't have any good memories of it. And I think you're the first person I've ever heard to openly admit that they really like it.
I'm taking a fucking risk here, but I don't care. Tell us your thoughts. What do you guys think? I'd be curious. I feel like maybe people were harsh on it because of the ending, but like, legit, it makes sense in the fucking universe, and it makes sense with like the first one. Just try and fucking just go back and watch it. Tell me what you think. Charlton Heston even makes an appearance, a cameo kind of, as an ape. So
Yeah.
you really can't lose. Plus, Tim Roth as like the evil ape is like great.
I love Tim Roth, and I'll always remember that Tim Roth turned down Harry Potter being Snape to be in that movie. Like,
and yeah,
talk
and
about a what if Tim Roth was in the Harry Potter universe.
I know. I really can't picture that, but I'm just telling people, go back, give it. I think it's on Hulu or some shit. It's streaming somewhere. Someone go back and tell me that you liked it. Maybe a little bit more than you did before. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'll go back and I'll rewatch it for
you. Okay, thank you. Fucking A. Finally. Yeah, because the other people, I can't hear your responses if you're responding right now. So like, please go online and tell me.
There
but
you go.
I've only seen the like next trilogy a couple times, but like, I'm just not a big fan of those. I like the James Franco one the best.
Oh, I completely disagree with you. And I think you're also alone on an island
Yeah.
with Tim Burton
Hey,
on that one also.
You might join me over here. Don't fucking talk shit yet.
Like, the
yeah,
second
that's not the
Dawn
popular
of
opinion.
the Planet of the Apes is the best one, and then War is really, really good still.
Yeah.
The crazy thing that, and I saw on Instagram, is that apparently like they have plans for a 9-movie saga, and I don't know if that includes the previous three or any of the other ones, or if this is 9 starting with Kingdom. And the thing that I don't understand is, I mean, this is the worst named franchise of all time because, like, it's so long. The titles are just so long. And it's like, we've done Rise, Dawn, War, Kingdom. I know the original ones also have their own. Like, how many other words are we going to put before Planet of the Apes before we're just like, we need to change the name of this?
But
I
like, what else are you gonna fucking call it? Planet of
don't
the
know,
Monkeys?
but
Oh,
it's
Planet of
so
the fucking,
long.
it's gotta be so, it's gotta be Planet of something. So it's gonna be long, but you're right. Planet of the Apes, it's gonna get pretty like insane if they do nine. But what are studios thinking? Guaranteeing nine movies now. This
Well,
isn't Peter Jackson with his fucking nine movie plan with Lord of the Rings, you know? If that's what it was, sure, maybe. But like, this sounds like the fucking Dark Universe shit.
the article says there's plans. So it doesn't say that it's been greenlit. It's just somebody has storyboarded apparently nine movies worth. Who knows if it happens?
Storyboard.
The only reason that this is even out is because the movie is doing well.
Hey, I'm off for another ape movie. I really am. Can't wait to see the Godzilla Kong movie. Godzilla in general, similar, but like big fucking, even if they're not big, I guess Planet of the Apes, they're kind of normal size. But either way, I like these kind of movies. I'm excited.
And we'll report back after watching Tim Burton. But let's take a quick little break and get into Unfrosted.
I believe we have split the atom of breakfast. In the early 1960s, the American morning was defined by milk and cereal. And the two undisputed giants of the cereal world were Kellogg's and Post.
Major news from the breakfast world. The Post Cereal Company has reportedly invented a shelf-stable fruit pastry breakfast product.
No.
Yeah.
Boy.
It's Post. They did it.
I'm about to finally crush that big red K that never stopped glaring at me. How do you think Post did it?
There's always a surprise inside the box.
I'm just gonna use xanthan gum.
Xanthan.
Kellogg's is entering the race to reinvent breakfast with the help of Steve Schwinn, Chef Boyardee, and Jack LaLanne.
They're stacking the deck with ringers.
You know Isaiah Lamb from Quaker?
You Kellogg's people.
Nobody said this was gonna be easy.
We're talking about happy childhoods for millions of American kids.
The important thing is the name.
Fruit Magoos! What?
No.
Heat 'em up and eat 'em ups!
No sale.
Oblong nibblers.
Is this a joke?
Whoever gets to the shelves first is gonna win this thing.
Give up the tarts, old man!
How did it get this far?
It's breakfast. Things happen.
Isn't this a cereal company? Why did my husband explode?
All right. Let's talk about Unfrosted, the parody spoof biopic that we all needed. This movie was so funny.
It's so fucking good, I will say. And it's about as good as if you put butter on a Pop-Tart. Which, if you haven't done it, I really think you should.
If you've never heard of that song, then
you're welcome.
I don't know what's wrong with you.
Have you ever put butter on a Pop-Tart? It's so freaking good. Have you ever put butter on a Pop-Tart? If you haven't, then I think you should.
I'm a little surprised that that clip hasn't made its round. It's on like TikTok or something.
Let's start it, man.
There we go.
Although I will say the only difference is that I guess they don't really specify what kind of Pop-Tart in that song, but like this movie's called Unfrosted for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So, right, so maybe that's why.
Unfrosted is a Netflix original, came out 2024. The release date is May 3rd.
Like so... literally just a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And we're doing this episode right now because... like us, you were probably hearing that going, a Netflix original, huh? Fuck that. Or just even, not even fuck that, just, you know, maybe, oh, I don't know about that. And rightly so. I think we could both say we are with you there. That was our thoughts. But like, this is also Jerry Seinfeld. So I'm just going to leave that there and then say, I watched it, told Jace to watch it, both glad that we did. And I think you should too. That's why we're really championing the movie this episode, I feel like.
I take no shame. Yeah. I was one of those people. I had no intention of watching this. And then Renee, you said, you have to watch it. It's great. And it is. It's so funny.
It's hilarious. It's got literally so many comedians. It's just a fucking blast. And it's just like good to have a fucking laugh right now.
I think this movie has more recognizable faces, like
Yeah.
cameos and just like people I've seen before and other things than any other movie I've seen. Like if
Probably since Oppenheimer, maybe.
I was gonna say even more than
Or
Oppenheimer. Like,
Barbie.
yeah.
Those two are like the two biggest. But
Yeah.
yeah, this one, like, definitely. It was like every single scene, and sometimes they're liking like a, you know, like costumes, so you don't necessarily know they don't look exactly like them. But it's like it's got people who aren't even just comedians. It's got like fucking James Marsden and Jon Hamm, who also, though, we know is hilarious. So
Yeah. And like, yeah, there's a bunch of people from SNL in it. I think I counted three or four people from New Girl that were in it. It like, yeah,
oh, I
there's just,
bet you did.
oh yeah. Oh yeah. I notice all the New Girl people.
Just keeping a running tally in your head the whole time. I get it, Jace. That's fucking funny.
But yeah, like it's so funny. And we wanted to do this episode specifically because a lot of people are just talking shit. And we're like, this is a good movie. This is a really good movie. You're gonna have a lot of fun watching it. And it's really confusing why it seems like people don't like this. Like people say like the jokes just fall flat, it's not funny. And I'm like, okay, I guess people have different senses of humor, but like I don't know. This is just a dumb movie, and
Yeah, but
it's
it's meant to
fun.
be.
It's like it's supposed to be dumb.
It's
And
on
it's
purpose dumb, but it's way better than just like being dumb. It's like hilarious dumb. You know what I mean? If you're okay with laughing at stupid shit, like when they're making new products and like testing out that like orange flavored like drink, and he's like, that
yeah.
has a tang. And she's like, oh, that's a good name. It's like, that's so stupid, but I love it. It's like really like just silly, basically, this whole movie, but like in a great way. And it also parodies stuff. So it's kind of like if you could just roll with the punches on those things, but like just fucking relax, people. And maybe they're just not used to like, maybe they need a big crowd to tell them to laugh or something
That was
because they're
one
watching
thing.
alone and they don't know what's going on.
That was one thing I was thinking of is like, are people not enjoying this because, like, we've said like comedy and horror are very communal genres. And are people just not enjoying this because they're watching it by themselves on Netflix?
Yeah,
Because, like,
probably.
I feel like if I saw this in a theater, I would be laughing my ass off with the entire theater.
I would think so too, but like I'm also wondering too if like the a lot of the jokes and like things it's parodying maybe are like older than some people, and like maybe a lot of young people probably have no idea about the references, especially with some of the 50s stuff or like the NASA shit and like
Yeah.
whatever. But like fucking learn about shit, people, or just fucking relax and like let the movie happen. Like, if you don't get everything, look it up afterwards. Maybe you'll fucking learn something. You know what I mean? For me, it worked very well because it parodies a lot of the NASA and like naming the astronauts or like scientists on an expedition or whatever, and
Yeah.
like the launch. And it just felt very much like a lot of I went through a whole phase of space movies and astronaut movies. So, like, this just felt very natural, like hilarious, because they all have it. It's the same thing.
Well, and like, we've talked about like one of the things we really love in a movie is when we can tell that the actors are having a good time on set. And like just the sheer amount of cameos and like people that jumped into this movie, it's like they had to have been having a blast making this movie.
Just random, like Christian Slater is like the fucking like kind of gangster, like
He's
fucking
like
milkman.
the leader of the Milkman Mafia, or on the side of the truck as it says the cream team.
Yeah,
I'm
it's
like,
so
oh my
fucking the whole
God.
like mafia of milkmen is amazing, and I really loved it. I don't know if it's hard to pick a favorite because like it's just really hard. Everybody's great, but like I really love Jim Gaffigan in this movie personally. I think he's incredible as the like fucking head of Kellogg.
I loved the bit that him and Amy Schumer have when they're like talking about how like they can't be together, but like
Yeah.
they're like, well, when we built the when we built this city, and then Amy Schumer's like inherited. It's like, yeah, when we inherited.
Yeah, it's like, or like the fact that they're like, yeah, we can't be together because she's the head of Post and he's the head of Kellogg's, and like
doesn't
that
make
even
it
matter.
Sexier?
Yeah, and then they're like the way that they look, because you're like, I know that they really are into each other, but Jim Gaffigan just felt like he was so perfect, and maybe it's just because of the 50s too. He really just fits really well in that time period. But I mean, I think Melissa McCarthy was also one of my top, like, number ones, I would say. Her and him are probably my top two.
Oh, I'll tell you who my favorite was. But before we get there, so this movie is a spoof. It's a parody. And it feels like we've really gone through a dry spell of parodies. You know, like the last one that I really can remember that I really liked was the Will Ferrell, Mark Wahlberg, the other guys.
The other guys.
I kept wanting to say like the new guys. I'm like, that's wrong. The old guys. Nope. It's the other guys.
Yeah.
And
no, like, yeah, that's a great one.
And that was like back in 2010.
I have a question then. Would you consider Cabin in the Woods a parody? Because I feel like it kind of counts.
Yeah.
It's almost
you're right.
Like a scary movie, but like a new flavor.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Let's but see, it just has scary parts to it.
And Cabin in the Woods was 2011, so.
Yeah, so it's still a while back, but that's like one I would consider like a.
Yeah.
But it's still like, yeah, we haven't had a full-on spoof.
Like, there's a big difference between parodies and satire.
Mm-hmm.
Satires have subtlety to them. Parodies
like Scary Movie or like Disaster Movie or Date Movie, which I will still say Date Movie still gets me. It's kind of funny.
But so, and what this movie is parodying is, it's funny. We've really gone through a huge boom of these in the last year, but it's biopics about companies.
Biopics
about companies and like brands. And it's funny. It's like we've had these. It's not a new thing. Like, you know, we had The Social Network in 2010. You know, we had The Founder in 2016, Joy in 2015. Those all had like a very serious tone to them. But then, like, I was really surprised how many of them we got last year.
Yeah,
and
I hate it.
And I remember you saying this when we talked about Air. You're like,
I hate these.
But
nobody cares.
So we get all in 2023. We got Air, the Tetris movie, Flamin' Hot, and Blackberry.
I hate that those are all movies. First off,
all
and
in one
from last
year.
I told you I had a fucking right to be angry, and I still am. Everybody, don't worry. That shit pisses me off because who the fuck cares who invented my cell phone? I don't care. You made like how many Steve Jobs movies? I don't give a fuck. Okay. Make something else. Okay. Well, Social Network, I love you because of David Fincher. And like, it's a great movie overall. And like, everybody's incredible in it. But like, I hate that movie started this trend. I know it took a while to get up steam, but like, it fucking happened. What was the one that really set it off though?
Well, I mean, The Social Network, and that barely like kind of counts in this category because it was a movie about Steve Jobs, or sorry, not Steve Jobs, Mark Zuckerberg,
in the creation of Facebook,
like the drama of that rather than Facebook itself. But like, I'm sure maybe that was the movie that I'd be like, oh, we should do these stories about companies, you know.
They did a lot on TV too, so you're just naming the movies, right? Or are those
just the movies. In 2022 we got, I call it the trifecta of corporate demise: The Dropout, We Crash, and Super Pumped. And those were all great. I loved all three of those. But yeah, like, they've been doing these for a while. But yeah, last year was just like, let's do all of them in one year. And I think the only reason that we did Air was because it was the first one. And then all of the other ones came after it. Air was the only one I could get you to watch.
And I was like, fine, I like Ben Affleck.
That one was good.
That was a great movie. I'll give him that. But I just like Ben Affleck movies, okay? I don't like these other movies. But that's why I probably love Unfrosted so much, is because I just love the fucking shit that it makes fun of, because that shit is so annoying and it's in every goddamn. I don't even have to see any of those to know that they follow the exact same formula. Am I right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and I have not seen any of the other ones either. I do want to see Blackberry because it's got my guy from Always Sunny in Philadelphia in it, but I'm not expecting a ton. But so Unfrosted really came at the perfect time because we just got this wave of oversaturation with this. And then there's like, let's just do a comedy spoof on all of this. Let's tell the fake story of how the Pop-Tart was born.
I mean, that's basically what the fuckers did with the fucking Cheeto movie, because that's not a real story. That guy admitted that he made it all up. He wasn't the fucking janitor who pitched that to the CEO.
Oh, really?
That's all a fucked up lie. And yet they knew that and made a goddamn movie about it. And its song was nominated for an Oscar instead of Peaches, Jace.
Yeah, I know.
This is also for you. Okay, I'm holding.
Let's keep the good vibes.
I'm keeping the bad vibes alive for you because of that. Like, just aimed at them, not for us.
We were robbed.
Yeah, we were robbed because of the fucking Cheetos. It's so stupid. But like, I haven't even seen that movie. But from what I've heard, they don't play it like a fucking parody. So like, it's ridiculous. This movie, at least, you know, I would say probably almost instantly when the kid orders, it's been a rough day, I'll take two Pop-Tarts.
It's like he's the depressed guy at a bar. Leave the box.
Leave the box. I was like, I knew right away what kind of movie this is going to be. And I knew it was not serious.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's like the funny part of there's a lot of funny parts of this movie, but just like
that's the one funny part. You're right.
According to the reviews, there's according one to the funny reviews, part.
They don't even give that. They're like, fuck it. Nothing's so funny anymore.
But like, yeah, the plot of the movie is so funny, and how it's like this high stakes, like everything is going to go to hell if we don't get
over
this.
Over the first toaster pastry, which is amazing because it's like, it's just so ridiculous, but it's perfect because instantly you're like, okay, well, we all know. I don't know for a fact, but like, I'm pretty positive Kellogg's and Post's like CEO headquarters are not like in the same town. It's not the cereal town, and they're not like right across the street from each other.
They actually are in the same town.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
No way.
Yep. Because my wife Sarah, she's from Michigan, and before we even watched the movie, she was like, "So is this like take place in Battle Creek?" Because that's like where they're from. And I was like, yes.
Wow. Okay, so
Battle Creek is like one of those towns that just like, you know, a company or two companies just is the local economy.
Maybe it is that big back then in the 50s. I don't know. But that's fucking I still knew it was like not going to be accurate history.
Yeah.
When they like instantly start with it.
That's about the only historical accuracy that's in this
movie. That's crazy to me that that's even accurate. That's amazing. I love that for that town. That's great. I bet they have fucking great, like the best of the best cereal and breakfast stuff too. We all get the shit leftover Pop-Tarts.
Or everyone there has diabetes or something.
They definitely do. Yeah.
That was one of the other things I loved about this movie is they just say in the movie at random points, like, you just add more niacin or pectin.
Yeah.
Xanthol.
Yeah. We've got something that'll replace sugar. It's high fructose corn syrup.
Oh my God. Is it Max Greenfield? I think that's his name from
Schmidt from New Girl.
When he like does that whole pitch of like, what if we did a healthy cereal? Yeah. And then Amy Schumer just hits him with the typewriter.
So good. I was like, oh shit, she killed him. And then that's another thing I love, that like the next scene he's just totally fine, not even a bruise. Like that the sound of it crushing him, it sounds like he's fucking dead.
I thought he died.
He was amazing in this movie. Like,
he was so, I mean,
and him and Amy Schumer had great chemistry. Like their whole like how annoyed she was with him all the time. It was like the first thing he says, I don't even remember what it is, but like it's so. Or he's like, I've been eating you for years.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I'd leave. Yeah. Just like, that's so good. I knew I was gonna love their like chemistry. Yeah.
Yeah, everyone is in this. Everyone in this movie is so good, regardless of how long they're in the movie.
Oh, like the Quaker Oats guy who
oh
like
my
is perfect
God.
because he, you know what it is that he's also like the Ben Franklin guy on
From
The
The
Office.
Office.
And I'm like, that guy just rocks that look, you know? Like he literally is so perfect. And the Quaker Oats are like combining religion with cereal. I don't like it.
Well, and apparently, I guess cereal was originally created with the goal of getting young boys to stop masturbating. So, true Quaker, apparently.
Really?
That's
That is a little bit too religious for some oats, you know? That's all I got to think about.
but yeah, and the another great thing about this movie is that it combines like very subtle humor and then just laugh out loud. Like there's just like little things that are said that just aren't they aren't delivered for like this big laugh, but if you hear it, it's really funny. Like Jim Gaffigan early on when he's like reading the paper, he's like, Vietnam, that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, just like little
Like,
throwaway
and
lines
then
are
it just
great.
switches to the next scene. It's like, what?
So good. You know who's like just we've talked about him so much, but like Hugh Grant
Oh my
really
God.
just is such a welcome presence in this movie. And like again, reiterating, I'm obsessed with whatever he's doing. I'm watching anything that he does from now on. He was great in Wonka. He kills it in everything. He's great in D is it Dungeons and Dragons?
Yeah,
Dungeons and
Dungeons and
Dragons.
Dragons.
Okay. Yeah, that's the one. He was great in that. He's in this fun, you know, era of his career, and I'm all about it.
Him and Nicolas Cage are in this era of just like, we're gonna do whatever we want.
I'm obsessed with it because him as like Thurl Ravenscroft, first off, what a name. And like it's based on the real fucking guy who played Tony the Tiger, who was like a Shakespearean actor. I love that like so much. And like him just like it was just it was incredible. I think all of the people playing like all of the like mascots were hilarious, but
Oh,
like
yeah.
a Hugh Grant obviously is just like you don't do better than that. He was so fucking good.
Well, and I think Hugh Grant, like, it's going to be hard for any movie to top the moment at the end when Hugh Grant leads the parody of January 6th
The
storming the
insurrection.
Capitol. He's wearing the shaman outfit and horns. And then when he goes in, and he even quotes Trump, like said, "We love you. You're very special." Like that might be the greatest movie moment of the year for me. It was just so hilarious
It
and
was so good. Honestly, this feels a little bit like the reaction to it is very similar to like maybe Don't Look Up and not getting the jokes and the humor behind it. But like
that's a
that was
good.
even more serious. And this is like just straight up silly. But it
Yeah.
also has a lot of that stuff it's like making fun of. And maybe people just don't get the references.
I would be surprised if, or I'd be curious of what percentage of the people who wrote their reviews actually watched the whole movie. Because it seems like a
Yeah.
lot of people hated it. And I was like, did you just turn it off halfway through? Like,
Well, I was reading in the trivia that it says that like when they were doing audience testing, that the closing credits and like the outtakes with like the Pop-Tart song
yeah.
like totally outperformed the movie like with double the average like audience score. So
That's
I was
so
like,
wild.
what the fuck? Like I just wonder maybe we're just not smart enough for Seinfeld's humor anymore. Are we just too good? Are we just too dumb for that now? Because like I thought everything about it was hilarious. Like a lot of the references, though, maybe that people just the young people they're testing are like JFK references, what? And it's like I know we all know that, but like, you know, a lot of people might not know that anymore. I don't know. Maybe we're just stupid.
I think people are just taking movies too seriously. This reminds me of when a lot of movies were just dumb. Like, name any Will Ferrell movie. It's just dumb. But that's what we love about it. You know, like
Yeah.
almost any Jim Carrey movie, like Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, maybe the dumbest movie ever
Yeah.
made, but
But
like
it's so good. Or Dumb
so
and Dumber,
funny.
literally.
Yeah.
So dumb on purpose. But it's like, I don't know, maybe people are just crazy. I know people love a blooper and outtake reel, like obviously. We always love that. I get the high score there, but I'm just like Literally everybody was fucking killing me. Like even like, I mean, I love that you had like Thomas Lennon and like fucking Bobby Moynihan
Oh my
as
God.
like they were like even like fucking co-parenting that little like ravioli Pop-Tart creature. And like so
The
fucking funny.
ongoing joke of Thomas Lennon's character being a Nazi, just
Yeah.
it got me every time.
So good. I loved everything. I mean, even I never even watched Mad Men, but I really enjoyed that whole like the whole bit with the
Oh,
Mad Men pitching to them. Did you watch
so
that show?
yes. So
Okay,
me and
cool.
Sarah, we watched it, and when so I watched it before I watched it with Sarah, or I watched Unfrosted before I watched it with Sarah. And when John Hamm came on, she screamed. She was like, "Oh my God, they're doing a full-blown recreation of Madman." And that is exactly what it's like. And the other guy that's in the room with him, his partner, that he's also from the show. And like that is exactly what the pitch scenes are like. And like that's exactly how John Hamm talks. And like they're always going for something sexy.
Yeah, that's so funny because I just love their whole thing of like, they're like, we're like a family company, like children's, cereal. It's like breakfast cereal. Like, and they're like, and it's like, why are you so serious? It's just like, you know what I mean? Just advertising. It was really funny.
And then Melissa McCarthy just going head to head with
Yeah.
John Hamm, like
She goes head to head with everybody in this movie. Like she goes with him with fucking Hugh Grant, which I really love their whole thing when she's like, oh, I love your thin, pencil thin mustache. She's like, I love your pencil thin mustache. Like just the back and forth that she has with them. Jim Gaffigan, like she just goes for it with literally everybody. Jerry Seinfeld, like all of them. And that's why she's just so great every time.
I think she maybe has like the best insult ever in this movie when she's talking to Hugh Grant. She's like, "What are you, some kind of ding dong?" It's like, can't come back from that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna use that in my life. What are you, some kind of ding dong?
Yeah, it's great. I really love that. I thought that it was really funny, all the like random fucking names that they go through to get to the pop chart.
Yeah.
Like, and that they even land on Trat Pops, which I was like, and then also just forgot to even mention him because I forget the name of the actor, but the guy who plays Walter Cronkite and
Yeah.
like the little tiny scenes that you get of him and like his ongoing bit about talking about the unhappy wife at home is so goddamn funny because he just nails the voice and it's so good. I don't even know who that guy is.
Oh, I just had it up in front of me. Yeah, he's so funny. And yeah, he's in like three little scenes, just little random things, and everything he does, yeah, he nails the voice perfectly. And he's just hilarious. Oh,
Yeah, I mean,
Kyle Dick Dunningham.
Dunning?
Dunningham.
Dunnigan?
Dunnigan. There we go.
Wait, okay. Okay, so that doesn't sound familiar at all then. But he was fucking perfect, and the voice just got me, and like every time they cut back to him. But I was curious, like, what the if I was like when they had that old clip of like Trat Pops, like the whole like little fake old clip,
Yeah.
I was like, is that really what they were gonna be fucking called? Like the other ones, like the Dillard Dailies or Dillard Dallies, or whatever the fuck they were going through. I was like, are these actual previous names for the Pop Tart? And then I looked it up because it was did you know what it was?
No.
It was fruit scones.
Fruit scones.
But it didn't really perform well with adults or kids. So they redid it and they were inspired by Andy Warhol's pop art, which I don't know if people even know who he is. So,
I don't, but I do know who Dan Levy is, and I
yeah.
was so happy to see him pop up for a minute.
Exactly. Or even like JFK, like Bill Burr. It was like really funny to me how great he was. I would never have thought that.
All right, so that's my pick. Bill Burr as JFK was
Was
my
your favorite?
favorite. Just incredible. Like whatever he was like, did I not make it clear enough in my opening speech?
Yeah.
Ask not.
Yeah. Ask not. And then the whole thing about like being in the doghouse because of you know who, and it's like obviously it's Marilyn Monroe, but like I'm sure a lot of people are like, what? But I thought he was fucking hilarious, and I never would have thought that he even looked like it, but like it kind of totally worked.
Yeah.
And even the voice was good.
It's maybe my favorite
that was
John F.
your favorite.
Kennedy impression I've ever heard. He was so good.
Yeah.
So whenever Sarah is watching movies, she's like also on her phone. And so she listens to the movie. And then if something happens, then she looks up to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
John F. Kennedy started talking and she stayed looking at her phone for probably 5 seconds. And then she turned and she said, oh, my God, it's Bill Burr. Like, it was so good. She had no clue.
Yeah, you would have no fucking idea that it was him. That would, it's like literally the last person. If you're ever like, who would you cast as fucking John F. Kennedy? Gee, I don't know. Maybe Bill Burr. I thought it was great, too, that they like the whole thing with going down south of the border to like El Sucre.
Oh my God.
Apparently, originally, Jerry Seinfeld wanted Daniel Day-Lewis to do it. Like, in the same, of like a parody, his role of There Will Be Blood.
Oh my God.
Would have been incredible. They didn't even ask him. So, like, who knows? But, like, I can't imagine him ever doing a parody. But, like, wouldn't that be amazing?
That would have been such a mic drop if Daniel Day-Lewis signed on.
Yeah, that would have got people's reviews up at least a bit. I don't know. I'm just thinking that at least, and also I used to watch, I don't know, but people maybe don't watch Seinfeld stand up, but I remember he used to do a lot of like bits about pop charts. He's a really funny comedian, and I just like, I really enjoy his style, and like his shit about Pop Tarts is pretty good shit. He always comes back to him, so I was like, it kind of makes sense that he's doing a Pop Tart movie. Like, fuck it, it's COVID. Let's do the Pop Tart movie.
Well, and the El Sucre scene is one of my favorites just because of the performer that they bring on, Tony Hall.
Like, yeah, oh God, he's so good.
He's so funny. And like the whole thing is that it's supposed to be like, you know, a drug cartel. And mm-hmm. so they bring this guy to do some comedy and then he's not funny. And when they took him away and then you just hear the gunshot, like I did a spit take. I was not expecting this crazy moment of just like, oh, this random performer at a drug deal.
It's like so good though.
And then just silence.
Their faces too, but it's great because like right before that, the fucking drug lord El Sucre guy is like, I apologize about the terrible grout job in here. And then the fucking first thing that the guy does with his like little puppet is like make a joke about the fucking grout. And like Melissa McCarthy's like, oh, he went right for it. It's like they bring him out, shoot him. But then when you go out, I love that it's the fucking puppet that they got because it's like it was the one that said it. But like, and then they're like, he's like talking and trying to talk for it. And they're like, oh, he's still in character.
He's a professional.
Such a real, like, that's what I'm saying. Just like, it kind of almost felt like similar humor as like Family Guy and like shit like that, you know, where there's a lot of like random shit thrown in there overall and like random little bits, but like they all worked for me.
It's just incredible. And then there's also like Peter Dinklage was amazing.
I loved seeing him in this.
The leader of Team Cream, like
I love that they're like Jim Gaffigan was just like, well, you know, everyone knows before cereal there was like, it was, you know, people only milked cows for fun.
Yeah.
It's like it was just really fun to like, you know, throw at a woman. Like it's so good. And then the milkmen become like the mafia because of the cereal. And I just love that. It's so good.
And also Jim Gaffigan has another incredible line when after Seinfeld, I'm just blanking on his name. Seinfeld gets captured and then he gets out of the cows.
The milkman.
Yeah. And then he's like talking to him and Jim Gaffigan's like, yep, milkman gave me diabetes.
Like, it was El Sucre. He goes,
oh yeah,
we
El Sucre.
El Sucre and he gave me diabetes. He's like, yep, check it out. Just got the brochure. It's like diabetes and you. So good.
Also loved the line that Hugh Grant has with Christian Slater in the bar. And Christian Slater's like, loved your 12 Angry Men, one man performance. Christian Slater's back.
I know. He's great. He's like, he's in an old episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, and he is pretty funny in that. And I just was like, I always was like, wow, I never expected to see that side of him. He's like at a party and he's eating all the caviar and Larry has a problem with it. And he's like, you're eating well over your, you know, allotment for like being one guest. You wait, walk around the room, then come back and have more. And just the way that he reacts is hilarious. And I just feel like I was so glad. I hope he does more like random shit like this, because I like that for him.
He's great. And also we got to talk about the funeral scene.
Yes, because after the like the great product testing thing with like the fucking Pop-Tart in the oven and like what's his name, Jack?
Jack, I have it right here.
From 30 Rock.
Yeah, Jack McBriar.
There we go, Jack McBriar.
Playing Steve Schwinn.
Yes, it's so good. And the fact that like he dies just like with the overheating of the pop, or like heating up the Pop-Tart and the fucking gas. So goddamn funny, like right as he dies, and then they're like, oh, it's him. But then it's like the other guy's like, no, he's fucking exploded everywhere.
It's
and they're
gross.
Like, and they're like, no, Steve's dead. But we did have a fun mix up with the other guy. Like, so good. And I love that it was immediately played for laughs. And then you go into the most fucking hilarious funeral I've ever seen.
Oh, my
which
God.
Was the cereal honors.
It's the full breakfast.
And just his wife going, why is any of this happening? Did you set this up? They're like, I actually don't know.
Because he just made bikes. So she's like, I don't know what's going on.
You were making a toaster pastry. Why did my husband blow up? It was just so fucking good. Like, how do you watch that and go, that's stupid? You know what I mean? It's, like, you got to be a real so sour funny. Motherfucker.
Like the come fact on, that people. Like they fill the grave with cereal and then pour milk while the guy like from floating. Reno 911 is singing Ave Maria.
Oh God, it is just so fucking funny. I love it so much. I really just think everything about this movie is incredible. I don't know why people don't love it if they have seen it, but like if you haven't watched it by now, please watch it. I feel like we're just talking about all the funny parts, but there's a million more.
That like we can't keep talking.
We're scratching the surface.
Because there's so many funny things to it. Like, hopefully, the goal of this podcast is that if you did watch it and you didn't really like it, give it another try.
Yeah, or at least tell us why. I would love to hear from somebody to try and fucking defend themselves, because I just don't get it. And I don't believe you. I think you've just given up on life. And believe me, I get it. But come on, if you've given up on life, sometimes I feel like that's when you can have the best laugh, because you're like, fuck it. And I do want to say that, like, I was curious this whole movie, though, like why it was called Unfrosted. And I was like, is that because they're setting up a sequel called like Frosted? What did you think? What were your thoughts?
Probably not. I don't know. I think
that thought not even cross your mind?
Well, I mean, I think knowing that the reviews weren't very good, I'm like, well, this probably isn't going to get a sequel. But
yeah.
Also, but like, I don't know. I think after watching it, I think I thought it was called Unfrosted because the frosting is like what people care the most about, I feel mm-hmm. like.
Yeah.
And so that's like part of the joke. Oh, also, shout out to the two kids. They were.
Oh, we didn't even mention them yet.
The dumpster kids were incredible.
I know. I love when we come across really good actors, because especially as like little kid actors, because I will say, like, nowadays it's incredible how good young kid actors have to be, because they can be so fucking good. Like, these kids were so goddamn funny. I watched a bunch of like old 50s movies, and the kids are the fucking worst parts of those. They are such bad actors back then because they didn't fucking have to be. But now it's like, these kids were so god, they were funnier than some of the people in the movie. I was like, what the fuck?
Like, they had to carry their weight and they did it. They
just like always eating and finding great shit in the dumpster, and like their whole bit about coming up with the names and just their whole attitude was fucking amazing. I was like, this is so random and weird, and I love it.
Yeah, you know, there's a place for absurd movies, and this movie is a prime example of that. We used to live with just absurd movies all over the place. And now it just seems like everyone's getting really serious about things. And like, this is just a good, like, let's not think about anything other than just this is dumb and laugh. Because it's great. And also, I love so much that this is Jerry Seinfeld's like first movie he's ever directed. Like, he's written some other movies, but like, this is the first one that he directed. And like, he's in pretty much every scene of the movie, but he's just playing the ultimate wingman. Like, he's just setting up everyone in the movie to have a moment. And it's so funny. It's so good. That's what
I really enjoy about it. And plus, it's like you said, like, the final like bloopers and stuff are just evidence to me that like, everybody, there's the extra evidence. Like, we don't even need those to know that everyone had a blast making this movie. It's exactly like, I feel like that's one of the big things that you enjoy so much about this movie. If like, if they're having fun with it, I feel like I'm having a blast. Like, I wish that like they were almost like an SNL skit and they'd be breaking the whole time, because I could totally have been like, I was laughing that much. I don't know how they kept it together. The bloopers were amazing. Because like, it was good to see that like, at least they did fucking laugh sometimes, because this shit was so good. It was so much fun. And just like, give it a break, people. Like, don't try to hate. Just fucking enjoy yourself. So we don't get a lot of good Netflix movies. If we don't appreciate the few that they do give us, we're just going to get more shit. Yeah. It's not that hard. Okay, I hate math, but I feel like it's a pretty easy equation.
Agreed. Well, and I think Bill Burr said it best in his post credits when he's like, "Oh, we're not trying to win awards. This is a comedy." Got it.
Yep. Thank you.
Oh man, Unfrosted, such a delight. So glad we watched it. Thanks for making me watch it, Renee. It was a good.
You're
watch.
Welcome. I like forcing you to do things, but also I'm glad that I could share the good word. That's what this episode has been about, is just sharing the good word that, hey, we know Netflix fucks it up all the time, but like, this one's a gem, people. Don't listen to the fucking critics or whatever. Just give it a shot.
Stupid movies are back, baby.
Exactly.
Well, next week, it's not a stupid movie. This is it. The time has come. We are finally going to talk about the movie that took the world by sandstorm.
Ooh, nice.
Renee, what are we watching?
We're going to be watching Dune Part 2, which we are so excited about. We've been waiting for it to hit streaming, and next week it will be on Max. So we are jumping right into it. We're going to talk a bit about Part 1, because we never did an episode on that. But it'll mostly be about Part 2, which I think is the more exciting part that everyone wants to talk about anyway. So I'm so excited.
Part one walked so that part two could run.
Mm-hmm.
Or sandworm slide, or whatever it is.
Sandwalk. We could.
Yeah. But yeah, that is going to be a lot of fun. Because that movie, I walked out of the theater and I was just like, no notes. This was awesome. So
I want five more of these. I don't care. Just give them to me, Denny Villeneuve, please.
Yes. Well, that is it for this week, and we will see you next week on the regular exclusive podcast.
Don't forget to like and subscribe. We're out here.